County Administrative Officer, Mr. Benson.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this afternoon we're here to discuss County Service Area Number 3 and go over a review of the assessment. On December 27th, the County Auditor Controller presented to County Council a memo that had listed certain concerns about County Service Area Number 3, what it is, and whether or not the assessment was appropriate for Mariposa County. County Council then took that and it did ask for County Council's response or County Council's thoughts on that. But as you know, County Council brought that to your board. The auditor essentially had three main concerns. The first concern was that the assessment for County Service Area Number 3 may not be constitutional. And so he had asked that that be reviewed. He had also pointed out that he was concerned about how special benefit calculations were made within the process when County Service Area Number 3 was established, and that proportionality charges were not addressed by County Service Area Number 3. In response to that, I've written a pretty lengthy report, but what I'd like to do here in the with the PowerPoint is to go over kind of the main points that are within my report, but there's a lot more detail in the report that I've given you. So the first thing that I wanted to make sure that the board and the public understood is the process that's necessary in order to put an assessment on a property tax bill. And that process has been defined through Proposition 218, which was adopted by the voters, and it's called the Right to Vote on Taxes Act. It was adopted in 1996, and the stated purpose of Proposition 218, as was in the proposition and published at the time, was to protect taxpayers by limiting the methods by which local governments exact revenue from taxpayers without their consent. Prior to Proposition 218, there was really a Board of Supervisors or a City Council had almost unlimited power to impose different taxes, fees, charges on properties. And many felt that that was getting out of control. So this proposition was to make sure that anyone who was going to be paying the bill would be able to be informed about what the charges were for and be able to consent to have a charge placed on their tax bill. So ever since then, that's kind of been the process that has had to be followed. The requirements to put an assessment onto a property tax bill are pretty specific, and there's several requirements. First of all, you have to identify all the parcels that are going to be subject to the assessment. The next thing you need to do is to determine that they get, if they get special benefit, and the proportionate special benefit. After that, a supporting engineer's report has to be prepared by a licensed engineer in the state of California. Then you have to notify every property owner of the proposed assessment. And again, this was a big change from the way it had been previously. Before, you used to be able to put a little notice in the paper on the legal notices page and say, the board is considering this. And it was up to the property owners to be able to find that. Now you had to send out a notice to all the property owners. You had to notify the property owners not only of the proposed assessment, but on when the hearing was going to take place and the procedures that would be followed at the hearing. You would have to provide all the property owners with a ballot that allowed them to decide whether or not they were going to consent to having an assessment placed on their property tax. And that ballot had to be very clear about what the timing and everything for bringing in the ballot. The board then had to conduct a public hearing. So they were noticed, the property owners were told when the public hearing was going to be. The board then had to conduct a public hearing and take all public testimony regarding the assessment. And then finally, the board had to tabulate the ballots, count the ballots, And the way the method is set up, in an assessment where you have different charges going to different properties, they're weighted by the amount that the people are being asked to pay. If in this assessment where each of the property owners was being assessed the same, a majority of the property owner ballots that are returned have to be in favor of the assessment in order for it to be able to be placed on the tax bills. So this is the procedure that we were charged with following. First of all, we had to identify all the parcels. And it was determined that the parcels that would benefit from the new fire engines would be improved parcels, and of with $10,000 or more in improvements. And we had, within Mariposa County, 7,112 parcels that met that criteria. It was determined by the engineer at the time that developed parcels receive 100% of the benefits. And what we were purchasing were fire engines to fight structure fires. And these were fire engines to replace the old fleet of fire engines that we had. Many of you will recall we had a fleet of fire engines. They were about 30 years old. They had been declared surplus by another county. I'm told that some of those fire engines had trouble doing more than 7 miles an hour uphill. But we did have fire engines. So this was to be an improvement to provide new equipment to help in fighting structure fires. The reason we looked at structure fires and this equipment only is that is what the Mariposa County Fire Department is charged with fighting, structure fires. They, CAL FIRE handles wildfires. Also, we were not buying equipment for other purposes, such as rescue equipment, the equipment that the firefighters use when there's an accident. But it was fire equipment for structure fires and to make improvements on the places where we were going to park these fire engines. It was determined that each parcel would benefit equally. And that was determined because the fire engines, we roll the same equipment regardless of what kind of structure fire it is. It could be a hotel, it could be a $100,000 home, could be a $2.5 million mansion, but we roll the same equipment. Finally, though, we also made the decision at that time, your board made the decision, that discretionary funds would also be provided to augment the county service area. So although the report said that 100% of the benefit was going to the properties that had structures, it was realized at the time that 100% is a pretty high bar, a pretty high bar to meet. So it was put into place and has been every single year that $100,000 of discretionary county funds are placed into the county service area. So essentially, 14% of the CSA 3 budget comes from general fund, recognizing that there probably is some general benefit. The engineer's report was done in-house, and again, this was a deliberate decision. At the time, first of all, I cannot tell you how many people I heard from that said this would never pass. There was no way that the property owners here in Mariposa County were going to approve this. So we wanted to make sure that we didn't spend a whole lot of extra dollars on putting together a report. We could have hired a firm, spent $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, up to $60,000 to come in and do the report. But since it was uncertain whether or not it would pass, we did make the decision to prepare the engineer's report in-house. And it was produced a simple one-page engineer's report, which highlighted what the law required as far as determining the amount of the charge and went through all the various steps. And again, these are outlined a little bit more detail in my full report. Also, we had to send out a notice of hearing. And every single one of those 7,112 property owners were mailed a notice of hearing that said when the hearing would be. The notice of hearing also identified that each parcel was going to be charged equally, $80. So again, every property owner was informed that they were going to be charged the same as everyone else, $80. And given that the duration of the payments not to exceed 15 years, it was all there in the notice of hearing, which was sent out to the 7,000 plus property owners. They were also sent a ballot. We used ballots. They actually were ballots that were prepared by the company that prepares our regular election ballots. That's a little unusual for an assessment type election, but at the time that was the decision we made. But the ballot has to have certain information that was also included on the ballot. So then the final step was for the Board of Supervisors to conduct a hearing. And on July 22nd, a full hearing was held. Every one of the property owners had been notified about the hearing. They had the opportunity to come here to speak to the board, to let the board know their thoughts about the assessment, to object to the assessment if they so desired. And that was on a Tuesday, July 22nd. That was when the hearing was conducted. The votes then, the ballots were collected at that time, but with several thousand ballots coming in, we needed some time to count them. So the board recessed and reconvened on Friday of that week, on July 25th, 2008. And again, we had mailed 7,112 ballots. Of those, 3,190 ballots were returned. 1,939 ballots were voted yes, while 1,144 ballots were voted no. There were 107 ballots which were returned but were deemed invalid. Generally, that was because they didn't check yes or no on the ballot, or the ballot wasn't signed. And Proposition 218 is very clear that if you're going to have an assessment, that those ballots have to be signed. So those ballots were not counted and not part of it. You do the math on this, 63% of the returned ballots were in favor of the assessment. And again, that was tabulated on July 25th, 2008. That date might ring a bell with some people, especially the folks in the profession that we have here represented to a great degree. That was the day the telegraph fire started. So on the day that the votes were counted for the fire engines was the day the telegraph fire started. Some people think there was timing the other way around, but no, that was the date. As a result, the board then took the necessary actions to go out and replace our fire engine fleet. And we purchased, I believe it was 12 fire engines and 4 water tenders, using the funds that were pledged or that were going to become available through CSA 3. Now, the CSA, the way it was written, it's a 15-year assessment. It will sunset at the end of 15 years. And we are leasing the fire engines. And at the end of the 15-year lease period, then we will own the fire engines. The other thing that the county made a commitment at that time was not to let us get into this situation again. The reason we had a problem at the time was that we had a fleet of fire engines, but we did not have a replacement fund. So there were no funds available to replace those fire engines. So the Board of Supervisors at that time made a commitment that they would dedicate funds each year to put it into a replacement fund, so that at the end of the useful life of these fire engines, there would be a kitty for the fire engines to be replaced. And the board has held true to that. And those funds have been set aside each and every year to replace the fire engines. So after County Council received the memo from the auditor, first of all, he notified the board and he notified me. But then the decision was made to immediately contact outside counsel and get another review, a legal review, on the constitutionality and the legality of our fire assessment. And there were discussions with legal counsel, but there were essentially two conclusions. First of all, and this is very important because the charge of unconstitutionality is a very, very serious charge. And it was the opinion of outside counsel, and believe me, or correct me if I'm wrong, but it's the opinion of county counsel that a fire assessment of this nature is constitutional. There is no question that this is a constitutional charge. If we had reason to believe anything else, we wouldn't be having this conversation or discussion today. This is constitutional. However, there was also discussion that in the process, in the one part where you have the engineer's report and you were discussing it, that there should have been or could have been greater detail in discussing proportionality and general benefit in the engineer's report. So that one aspect of the engineer's report could have had more detail. Now, on the constitutionality issue, I've heard it claimed or said or that we're out there, we're the only ones that are doing something like this, we're really out on a limb. That just simply is not the case. Mariposa County's fire assessment is much less aggressive than many other fire assessments that are out there, and they are out there. During the past 8 years, these are the fire assessments that I've been able to determine have been established throughout the state of California. And again, many of these are much more aggressive than our fire assessment. Santa Barbara, Deer Springs, Cahuga, Truckee, Oakland, Placer Hills, Amador, Santa Cruz County, Alpine Fire Protection District, City of Blue Lake, East Davis, Rodeo Hercules Fire Protection District, Dobbins Oregon House Fire Protection District, the City of Greenfield, the City of Pacifica, Millbrae, something called the Rescue Fire Department, the Garden Valley Fire Department, Pioneer Fire Department, North Tahoe Fire Department, the Loomis Fire Department, and right now, Sacramento Metro is in the process of putting together a fire assessment in their area. So the constitutionality of having an assessment for fire protection, again, I think it's very clear that it is constitutional and is used throughout the state of California to varying degrees. And again, ours is much less aggressive than some of these other assessments that I've been able to review. Okay, so we contacted outside counsel, we got the lawyers to weigh in, said it is constitutional, but then because we did have questions about proportionality and other aspects of the engineer's report, the board took action and brought in an outside engineering firm that specializes in fire assessments to take a review, take a look at our fire assessment, and to tell us, first of all, is the $80 fee, is that justified? Are people getting the benefit? What would a report that we could pay $30,000 or $40,000 for, what would that show when it was all done? Well, the outside engineer, the people who do this all the time, they gave us two overriding conclusions. First of all, that the special benefits that the property owners are receiving through County Service Area Number 3 equal or exceed $80 per parcel. That they get much more, well, really, that they get much more than $80 worth of benefit through the assessment and the purchase of the new fire engines. And also that if we were to go out and redo this, that the uniform assessment of $80 per parcel for all parcels, no matter what is on the parcel, as long as it is a parcel that has improvements, that uniform assessment could be maintained. What the law and the way they pointed out in the law was that the Board of Supervisors can essentially do things, and part of that is putting in $100,000 annually to equal out that assessment. So you can't overcharge anybody, and you can't lower someone's assessment in order to raise someone else's, but you can offer, the way they put it in their report was, The board can, and very often does, offer discounts. And the reason is it can be very, very complicated if you really want to get into the weeds as far as determining every single parcel having a different assessment amount. So those were the conclusions that an outside firm, a well-respected firm, an engineering company that specializes in this does, and is more than happy to produce a report if we were to go back and do this over again and allow us to spend about $40,000 in taxpayer dollars to get a report done. Now, during the process, the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association had been contacted and gave an initial opinion regarding the assessment. I've been involved with these type of things. I was involved in Prop 218 right from the very beginning. And really, the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association is the preeminent organization within the state of California charged with protecting taxpayers' rights and making sure that entities like Mariposa County and the state follow the law. After a meeting that I had with the General Counsel of the Jarvis Taxpayers Association, a letter was put together and sent to Mariposa County that after he had a chance to review all the information regarding our assessment, including the way our whole fire department is structured, and that was very important. As I said, some of these assessments, they get a whole lot more aggressive. They're funding their whole fire departments, some of these, on some sort of a fee or an assessment on the property owners. When you look and you boil it all down, Mariposa County General Fund provides 82% of all the funding for the fire operations. 18% of the total fire expenditures in Mariposa County are being paid for by the property owners who own developed parcels within the county. So based on a review of all the information, all the numbers, and a complete look at the Mariposa County Fire Department, the conclusion was that we are reluctant to conclude that property owners in Mariposa County are being mistreated. And the Howard Jarvis Taxpayer Association at that time, in writing, in a statement from them, has said that they will not participate in legal action against Mariposa County as far as looking at the assessment and going after the assessment. So again, this is what these people do for a living. And I have a tremendous amount of respect for the Jarvis Taxpayers Association because, quite honestly, there are abuses out there, and I have seen things in my 20-some years in county government that are absolutely appalling that some cities and counties have tried to do, and I'm glad that the Jarvis people are there to protect the taxpayers, because I'm one of those taxpayers myself. But in this instance, it just isn't warranted. We have a constitutional legal assessment. So, to summarize, what happened is the auditor did bring certain concerns to the Board of Supervisors. The Board of Supervisors took those concerns very seriously. We have reached out, and they took immediate action based on what those concerns were. Because again, and to me, the heart of it is the constitutionality is a very serious charge. The board took immediate action. We engaged outside counsel to review what we have. The assessment was also reviewed by an outside professional engineer. And the conclusions are that the assessment is constitutional, that the engineer's report was lacking in some detail. There could have been more detail to discuss proportionality and to discuss the special benefits from the assessment, but that an $80 per parcel uniform assessment is justifiable. That was the conclusion. So therefore, since we have a constitutional charge, we have assessments that are justifiable, we followed the process. Remember, go back to the very beginning. What is Proposition 218 all about? What's it there? What's it there for? Is to allow property owners to consent to having a charge put on their property tax bill. Everything we said that we were going to do, we have done. Those dollars have been used exclusively for the purposes that the property owners were told. There's been no change in the game. Everything that they were told has remained in place. Therefore, it is my recommendation that after reviewing everything thoroughly, which has been done, that your board take no further action regarding CSA 3. You have a constitutional and a justifiable charge. Now, should your board want to do something else, you do have some options. None of these, I'm not recommending any of these. One, you could eliminate the charge and try to replace those funds with general fund dollars. And you might want to couple that with a possible tax increase. Let me go back. We have the first option you have is you can give the fire engines back. Okay, we have that in our lease. Technically, we can return the fire engines and be done with that. We don't have any other fire engines. We long ago got rid of the old ones. But again, I'm not really considering that as an option. But you could eliminate the charge and try to replace it with general fund dollars or try to have another tax increase. You could place the assessment on the ballot for a voter-approved special tax. And there is a difference between the property owner and the voter-approved assessment. If you put it on as a voter-approved special tax, it would require a two-thirds majority of the electorate to pass the special tax because it's being earmarked for a special purpose. Quite honestly, most taxpayer associations, most taxpayer groups do not like that part of the law because you are bringing into the equation the people who are not being asked to pay the bill are getting to make the decision on whether or not they're going to be that there is or is not going to be an assessment. So renters or other people who don't own property can impose a property charge on property owners, and that rubs a lot of people the wrong way. Or your board could redo the whole thing. We would go through the exact same process we went before. With the exception, we would have a new engineer's report that we would spend $35,000 to $40,000 to have produced. It would make some statements that would say proportionately some properties are getting a greater benefit, but that will be evened out through the county general, contribution of general fund dollars into the assessment. And it will probably conclude that the property owners do not receive 100% of the benefit. They may receive 90% of the benefit. Again, it's a moot point because your board only requires the property owners to pay 87%. But you could redo the assessment, and it would be the same kind of assessment. It would be an $80 per parcel for the parcels that have structures on them. So again, my recommendation for the board to the board is, after reviewing all of this, and I think your board took a lot of very serious steps in reviewing this, is to take no action and to allow the assessment to continue for the next 10 years, at which time the assessment will go away because it has a 15-year life. So that is my report, that is my recommendation, and I'm happy to answer any questions of your board.
All right, thanks a lot, Rick. By way of process, I'm going to see if the board has any questions. I'll open it up for public comment after that, and then I'll bring it back to the board for final deliberation. So, any questions from the board at this point? All right, seeing none, we will move, and I will open the podium for public participation. In any order you would like, it would be very helpful if you give your name when you come up, and limit your comments to about 5 minutes so that we all get out of here by six or so. And the I should have mentioned when we started that Supervisor Stetson is excused from the meeting. Some of you know he had heart surgery about a month ago. He is doing exceptionally well and told me yesterday that he intends to be back in his duties on April 15th. So we'll be working with four until then and have been. So if anyone from the public would like to comment on the presentation or advise the board in any way, this is your time to do that. Always shy.
When it's something this important, I don't mind.
And try to aim that thing at your mouth, Dennis. Thank you very much.
My name's Dennis Butt. I think, Rick, you did an excellent presentation. Thank you for that and your research. A couple of the board members were here when the CSA was originally, the concept was brought about, and you understand the position the fire department was in then. It was in horrendous shape. The engines were unsafe. We were putting people at risk. Not only the people that respond to that equipment, but the public that we serve with it. So, as I look at some of the recommendations, the one I like the best is let's leave this thing alone. If we were to try and redo anything again with today's economic environment, there's no way we'd get where we are today. And I kind of found it interesting that the father of Mariposa County Fire Department, Don Weston, awarded me one time with a stir stick. It's a paddle. And I think he recognized that sometimes there are issues that you stir because they're important and there's some really good things that can come out of it. Out of stirring this pot, I see nothing good coming out of it, except that we've found out that it is constitutional. Other than that, I see no reason for stirring this pot that's been stirred, because when you look at the risk to the taxpayers of Mariposa County, that if we were to lose those engines and give them back, what's that do to our county's credit rating? What's it do to homeowners who have ISO ratings that are going to go out the window and can no longer get homeowners insurance and are going to be foreclosed on? Lots of people would lose their homes over this deal, so that's something I hope you consider as well. So, mirroring what Rick said, I hope we can just let this whole thing go and move on down the road for another 10 years and let these engines serve us and the public that we serve. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dennis. I can run this like a wake. You know, we'll just sit here and look at each other till the next person comes up. That's all right.
Hi. My name is Carol Williams, and I'm obviously with the fire department. I'm a first responder with Station 29, Lush Meadows, and the Jersey Dale substation. And I don't know all the ins and outs about this. I am a homeowner. I don't know all the ins and outs about this. So I've gained most of the knowledge that I have of this situation from Mr. Benson's presentation. It seems to me, as a simple homeowner in Mariposa, if there's a fault in this whole issue, it is the lack of a very detailed, specific engineer's report that costs like a lot of money. I think you said like $40,000-$50,000 we could have spent doing that. It seems to me that our simple, basic county already spends a whole lot of money on consultants and special reports, and this issue was very simple, in my opinion. It was handled well with a simple, basic engineer's report. Congratulations on that, and not spending that $40,000 or $50,000 for a big, huge, detailed report. Rather saying, we need new fire engines, this is how we can pay for them, this is how they'll be used, do you want them, yes or no? Congratulations on doing that. And I don't see what the problem is. I don't see why this should be an issue. I don't see why we need to take this back to the voters. The voters already said, spend the money. The fire engines are already here. The fire engines are being successfully used by our fire department. I don't know what the problem is, and I don't know why this needs to be discussed at this time, but it is, but I don't see why it needs to go any further. Seems like we've discussed it again. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Ken Melton. Just a couple of comments. Question first. New construction that takes place now is not assessed that fee. Is that correct?
If you would give me your, the process is, and I should have been clear about it when we're doing public comment, if you would list any of your questions and then we'll make sure that we get you the answers to them.
Okay, well that, because that was kind of assumed that this fee would be attached to any new construction over 10,000 that would come into play after, as time went on. It doesn't sound like that's the case based on your briefing, and I was trying to clarify that.
All right, we'll make sure we clarify that today.
I was on the board of directors of MPUD when we did our Saxon Creek, and we did a very similar to this, although we were fortunate to do it before Prop 218, but we did go back and review it. And my comments are on the proportionate special benefits, because we did it proportionately. We took the special benefits, in this case, say you had a multifamily project, you had a single parcel with four or five houses on it, which we are structures that we do have around the county, different things of that nature. And our council said proportionate was that we had to do specifically if you had two structures, two homes, you had two assessments. And that's what we did, and we did the 50% vote. And that was proportioned for each parcel. This fee is a flat fee. It's not proportioned. The guy with three or four houses or a multifamily complex or something on his property that would need a lot more fire protection than a single family resident, that's not proportionate. So I was in favor years ago of a county-wide fire fee, which never happened. So we do have probably several thousand mobile homes around this county that are still on HUD. They get all the fire protection of these new fire engines and they don't pay a dime. We have people with assessments on their property over $10,000, apparently paying the fee, but they're well septic and they're not structures. That was a problem in the beginning. So I'm just voicing in the process, I don't think it was done right legally. I haven't done my homework enough to say, but I don't think it was done, in my opinion, right. So we have 14% coming in from the general fund, and I think we got a heck of a lot more people getting benefits that aren't paying the fee. And I don't know if that's something you can look into, because like I say, there's a lot of structures out there that aren't paying fees, mobile home types especially. Your 14%, I don't think near covering what the protection that other people are getting throughout this county.
Thank you, Ken. Anyone else care to contribute? Welcome.
I'm a little shorter than Buck. My name is Anthony Meisner. I drove here from Fish Camp. I'm on the other end of the county. I would first like to thank the board for the foresight to give us a fire station that has a meeting room and a bathroom. We have for years had to go to the Tenaya to use the restroom. We have to pull one of our apparatus out of the bays to have our monthly meetings. Thank you, thank you, thank you. As a result of the new station, the new engine, we are looking forward to staffing at no charge to the county, staffing the Fish Camp Fire Station so we can make our responses. Because right now, we don't have a pot to piss in, to be exact.
So
we don't have a pillow or a bed. Thank you, thank you. I think this is a righteous use of the assessment. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome.
Hi. Bill Davis, Mariposa County Auditor. And I just wanted to preface this with I have brought this to the board's attention, and as such, I feel I have fulfilled my obligation to my oath to support the California Constitution. And I have done as much research over the period of time as I possibly could. I have found numerous court cases that have thrown out assessments for failure to have proportionality and a distinction between general benefit and special benefit calculated in their engineer's report. I have found no court cases where the proportionality and the distinction was not done and it was allowed to stand by the courts. Having said that, as I started off, I feel I have done my appropriate duty in bringing it to the board, and at that point, it is up to the board to determine whether anything should be done or not. But there are numerous court cases that would dispute the findings presented in this presentation today. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Can't help myself. My name is David Norman, and I was against this to begin with because I didn't think it was fair to a lot of the citizens of this county that were paying for this when other people were benefiting from all of this. I live in the Bridgeport area right now, and over 20 years we've been trying to get a fire station built out there. My proportionality, you would have to show me that there is some proportionality that I have to pay, since I don't consider myself having fire protection. Regardless of what Mr. Benson has said, the Constitution still says that they have to show a proportionality. So to me, that means that this still was invalid and needs to be reinvestigated. I was unprepared too this morning when I got my looked on the board minutes to see that this was going to be presented. So. That's how I feel about it. I just feel that regardless of what Mr. Benson has said, it still has not met the constitutional amendment of 218 because of the proportionality, and it needs to be revisited. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
My name's Ron Sederberg. I'm a firefighter lieutenant out of 29 with Carol and half the other people here. One thing I keep hearing from people coming up saying proportionality, yes, okay, we'll look at the numbers. But the main issue here isn't that, it is safety. I ride in that engine. I rode in the old engine. I was here for telegraph. I rode in the old engines. And we were worried what those pumps would do, what the engines would do to protect the homes of the people that are up here concerned about proportionality of service. I see it as a safety issue for the firefighters. We do not get paid to go into a burning building. We do not get paid to get up at 3 in the morning to go to an accident or an illness. And the engines give us some measure of safety. And that's what the board should look at. What is more important, $80, $1,200 in 15 years. Most people spend more than that on movies, beer, cigarettes, whatever. And they're complaining about $80 over a human life. I go into the burning buildings. I've been into a couple. I was at Pizza Fire. I went in there. Pond Basin a couple of weeks ago, I was interior. I had faith in our engines, I was safe. The old engines, I wouldn't have gone into the Pizza Fire and squirted one drop of water because I wouldn't have felt safe. I want to make it home, all the firefighters do. I think it's time people should start looking at our safety and their safety. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Well, nobody wants to follow that one. But yeah, oh, there's one.
Yes, my name is Tom Hall. I'm the captain at Station 29, Mariposa County Fire Department. And I would like to echo Ron's comments about safety. To us firefighters, that is the main thing. Safety with the engines and safety for the public. I was driving a county fire engine several years ago, and part of the steering mechanism fell out of the engine onto the street. 10 minutes before that, I was driving code 3 in that engine down Triangle Road. If that would have happened when I hit a curve, I wouldn't be standing here today. So to me and to all the other firefighters in this county, safety is the big issue. Like I say, not only for us firefighters, but for you, the public. When we go into your burning building to save you if you're trapped, you would want to know that we have a fire engine that'll be able to pump water without fail. We didn't have that before these engines. So to us, that's the main thing, is safety. And $80 a year for your safety and our safety is nothing. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, if we've given all the comments we're ready to today, I'll bring it back to the board and see if we have, I'll just follow up with any questions that might have come up.
There were two questions if you'd like me to address Mr. Sure. Melton's questions.
Go right ahead.
The first one was, if a new structure is built, it should be added. It's now receiving the benefit, so it should be added on there. So when a new structure is there, when it's over $10,000, it should be subject to the charge. Secondly, there are a few exceptional parcels out there that have over $10,000 worth of improvements but do not have a structure. I've been made aware, I believe, of three of those. When they've been brought to my attention, I've removed the charge administratively from those properties. So if a property owner has over $10,000 in improvements and it's not a structure, this was specifically set to charge against structures, my office should be contacted and we'll investigate it, and charge would not be charged.
Mobile homes.
Mobile homes fall into two different categories. There's some of them that are licensed mobile homes through the state of California. We don't have a way to capture those, and this is for real property is what you can do an assessment. But if it's a property, and I know that people have mobile homes on real property, and if the mobile home is showing up as an improvement on that real property, then they are charged.
All right. All right, thank you. Supervisor Bibby.
And usually, Rick, because like we have a mobile home that's registered through Housing and Community Development, but we pay the $80 because there's like a shed. So if the shed triggers it and adds up to the $10,000, you automatically pay. Or as soon as there's any development that adds to that value and you hit that amount, you automatically pay. So do you know how many mobile homes would not pay?
It's kind of like that you don't know what you don't know.
Okay.
Because, again, they are registered through the state through a whole different method. They don't show up on the property tax bills. And now I'm digging back and remembering when we were setting this up initially. But there is something where this is for real property that you can put the assessment on. So that's kind of, we're kind of tied up as far as the way that law works.
Okay. But like the mobile home parks, if they have any improvements that add up to 10,000, well, septic, then triggered.
Right.
Okay. Or driveway improvement.
Well, again, I've not removed any of those, so.
Okay.
Again, I believe it's three parcels that property owners, and these all were when this initially happened, said, hey, you know, all I've got is a well and some septic, but we don't have any structures. We had someone go out, take a look at it, confirmed it, took the charge off the property tax bill.
Okay, and you have not received any challenges to date challenging the CSA?
What do you mean challenging? No. I mean, until the auditor presented his memo to county council in December, there will be occasional phone calls, but I haven't received one in years. Most people, they call, they ask, they tend to confuse this with the now with the fire fee that the state is doing with the SRA fee. But the questions have been referred over to the treasurer tax collector, the assessor's office. And again, I would normally be brought in on any big kind of challenge. And no, it's been pretty quiet.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if there's just one other comment I'd like to make, and I was remiss. You know, we said that we went through this process and 60-some percent of the property owners agreed to it. I did want to note, and I was remiss that I didn't note it earlier, the reason 60-some percent of the property owners agreed to this is that they were informed about this. They were given information. There were several public meetings held, some of which I participated in, some of which board members participated in, but all of which were really driven by the people that are in the room today. Your volunteer firefighters are what made this assessment happen. They went out there, they beat the bushes, they let people know what it was, they answered their questions, and they're the ones that made this happen, and I think it would be a real tragedy for all their hard work if this were to be reversed.
Supervisor Jones.
I know the answer to this, but I just want the public to, because the rumor's been out there. Have the replacement funds for the fire trucks ever been touched?
No. We've set up a schedule. Now, there are two. We have set up a special replacement fund for these fire engines. And that replacement fund, the way we set it up, and it was the board then agreed to it after we had put this together, is we've set up a 22-year replacement fund. And we've set up a schedule to put money into that fund that's subject to be reviewed every 5 years. So we haven't hit the 5-year review period. That was voted on by the board and adopted a few years ago. We have put into that fund 100%, despite the difficult budget times. We have put into that fund exactly what we said we were going to put into it and have not taken any money out of it. So that fund remains whole. It is being built up at the pace that we decided. Where people may be a little bit confused on other vehicles, the auto fleet in the county, for instance, some of our county cars that we drive around for the various departments, we have at least once in the budget process not fully funded that kind of a replacement fund. But the replacement fund for the fire engines that are involved in CSA 3, and again, a reminder to everyone, those funds are coming from general fund dollars. They are not coming from the assessment. They're coming from general fund dollars. That fund has been replaced at the schedule that was agreed upon by the board some 4 years ago.
Okay. Can I have one more?
You certainly can.
Okay. For the fun of it, I called an engineer, unbeknownst to all the board. And surprise, huh? And one of the questions I asked him is if three engineers did a new report, what are the chances are, and given all the same information, what are the chances are that they would all three come up with the same results? The answer he gave me was slim to none. That tells me, even if we went and spent the $40,000 for a new report, that one may not survive again, which I think this one probably does. There's some fallacies in it. But then if we did another one for $40,000, it would be different also. So in other words, if we do three of them, we're going to come up with three different answers. Because an example that he gave is, Supervisor Jones, you live so far from a fire station. The other gentleman that lives right next door to it, you're not getting equal treatment. and he gave me four or five different reasons. And to you firemen out there, I own one of the old fire trucks from fish camp, and I drive it every so often. And believe me, I know what it's like to drive that truck. To get it more than about 10 miles an hour, you're lucky. So I'm glad you got your new ones.
So how do you expect lawyers to stay in business?
They continue to do engineering reports.
All right. Supervisor Bibby.
I do want to say a special thank you because you've all showed up. Because when this first was posed, it was like, what do we do? And you visit the options and you review the information coming in. I mean, it was nice to get it narrowed down to just the engineer's report. But, you know, I asked Rick if any challenges have come through, and so far nothing, because you never know. So definitely, you know, the community supports the volunteers and supports public health and safety. Rick, at any time, if somebody felt strongly enough, they can submit a formal challenge, right? But we do not have a formal challenge today.
Yes, someone could legally attempt to challenge it.
Okay, and at that point, the county would address it and pay the funds and go through the whole process as to how it's corrected. But right now, we're not at that point. We do not have a challenge that triggers all of that.
If a challenge were levied, I think we'd all be turning around to the gentleman behind you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Who would give you his best advice as far as the best course of action to take at that time, depending on the merits of the challenge.
Okay. And is there like a time limit that the county has to respond to a challenge?
Again, I would, yeah. If there's a suit filed, again, the general county council would know. But I'm sure there would be a time frame to have to do some sort of a response.
Okay. So I do want to say kudos to the community because, you know, when you're faced with something like this, you're thinking, gee, we already addressed it. We had that behind us. We had the trucks. We had improved public health and safety. We had improved the health and safety of all the volunteers. And it was really sad to see them doing everything possibly they could to combat fire and to protect the community widespread when they were equipped with a truck that went 7 miles per hour knowing our terrain. It was totally unfair. So I would hope that the community will continue to show their support for this as well as their support for the volunteers and firemen and emergency personnel, no matter where, because they are the ones that hit the floor at 3 a.m. in the morning, rain, snow, whatever. They are there for your family to keep them safe. So kudos.
Thank you. Let me make a comment, Rick, and then you can close up. It would be great if we could work with 100% certainty on everything we do, and unfortunately, we can't. I don't necessarily agree with Dennis that if we did a revote, it would fail. I think the majority of this county mirrors a lot of the comments that you heard in here today. I believe the auditor was 100% correct in bringing this to our attention. The engineer's assessment that was done is insufficient, and it is potentially insufficient. It is potentially flawed. Now, the subsequent assessment Rick didn't fully lay out the qualifications of the firm that did the subsequent assessment for us. This is a firm that has been involved in most of the CSA legislation and litigation throughout this state and is one of a handful of firms that performs these engineering benefit assignments and defends them since this law was passed. So they were very astutely selected and gave us good information. So, it's been a fascinating evolution. If we are challenged, as Supervisor Bibby said, we're going to have to make a decision. Do we just stop and redo the process, or do we basically try to defend and get the challenge dismissed based on the fact that we feel with a high degree of certainty we can get back to right where we are today, just spend a lot of money? So that's what the board has to decide. And our goal is certainly a very defensible assessment. But our question is, as Ms. Williams mentioned here, how much do we want to spend to gird ourselves as to the 100% level, or to whatever degree of percentage, as Supervisor Jones says, we want to feel comfortable with. And that's where we are today. So, Rick, you're...
I just had one, my lifeline buzzed in while I was here. That question regarding the replacement fund, it's all in one fund, but the amount that was put into the fund designated for these fire engines has always gone in at the correct amount. They're different line items within one fund, but technically it's in one fund, not two separate funds.
And just to close out that topic, we have spent a degree or an amount of this money is also available for fire station improvements.
Yes.
And some of that has been spent?
Yes.
Yeah. But it hasn't been spent now on new fire stations.
Correct. Well, it's been spent on... There was some discussion about which fire stations would it be appropriate to spend that CSA 3 money on. CSA 3 money has been spent exclusively on the Lake Don Pedro Fire Station and on the Mid Pines Fire Station.
Because they were existing.
And they were replaced on the exact same parcels. So that is where your board has chosen to spend the money at this time.
And to close out the Bridgeport comment, do we have a projection of when we have a station there?
Well, we would have been further along in the process right now. Just for the public's information, this is a big question looming over the board. So the board put the brakes on all spending until this was thoroughly investigated. The Public Works Department has the plans ready to go and are ready to go out to bid on the Bridgeport station. Assuming that your board does not take any further action here and we're not going to be going through a redo process on this, the Public Works Director is on vacation. The first week he gets back, your board will be getting the proposal to go out to bid on the Bridgeport station.
All right, thank you. Supervisor Jones had a follow-up.
Yes. Out of this whole conversation here, there's one thing that I would like to make sure everybody understands, and that is always feel free to question anything that I myself do or votes. Always feel free to question that. You can come to me in private, you can come to me in public, I don't care. I think the whole board should feel the same way. Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Carrier.
I'm typically a process guy and I like to follow the process, but in this case, looking out for what's good for the county, I think without our volunteers, we would not have a fire department. We would not have a good portion of our public safety to rely on. And so if we lost these engines, we would lose the fire department. And as a supervisor and as a citizen, I can't allow that to happen. And so with that, given that the engineering report was flawed, but if we look at redoing it, and I think I stand with Kevin on this, is if it went back to be reaffirmed, I think our community would do it. But at the same time, it would come at a cost to us. And in that timeline to do the process, we would probably lose the fire engines because we couldn't make the payment. And so at the end of the day, it may be reaffirmed, but as somebody in the audience said, we'd lose our credit, and trying to go back after new engines again, it wouldn't happen. So I think in this case, sometimes following the process isn't always the right thing to do. And again, I have to thank everyone in our fire department and scope. Without our citizens' involvement, we wouldn't have a public safety program. So, thank you.
Thank you. Well, then I'll conclude that it seems to me that if we have to go out, if something causes or provokes us to go out to redo the process, I have a lot more confidence in the end product than I had initially when we were just looking at our original engineer's report. So I, for one, don't have, I feel that this has been a healthy process to review it, and I like the evolution of this process. So we can obviously turn on a dime here if we have to, but at this point, unless the other board members have a comment, I'll bring us to a close. And gratefully thank, we're not doing public comment, Ken, I know. And gratefully acknowledge our fire department and volunteers and the public who participated here. I'm in the Rural Counties Association, 32 counties. They all are inventing the same wheels concurrently, and our volunteer fire department is mirrored in a couple of other counties, and then there's a lot more than that really wish they could pull it together. So our hats and gratitude go out to you for what you've done for this county. It is just a huge service that, you know, will only be repaid. It won't be repaid financially, but certainly in our gratitude. And we thank you all very much. So with that, we are
adjourned in memo.
We will adjourn in, thank you, Rick. Wow, you're not usually that sharp on these things. We will adjourn today in the name of John Paul Fraser, who has Yosemite or Mariposa roots and last lived in San Leandro, California. So thank you all for coming and participating.